Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Now, what do you do when you try to limit teen cell phone use, but there's always a reason they need to have it? We'll talk about this and more on this week's podcast, Lions and Tigers and Cell Phones. Oh my! It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown. And I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family that you work for every single day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, don't be shy. We're all going to benefit from your question, so come on over to my website, neildbrown.com. Click on either For Families or For Treatment Programs. Then click on any podcast and scroll down to the end where it says Submit Your Question. And enter it there. And come on, let's do it today. And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. Let's all remember that this podcast is for educational purposes. It's not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Well, today we're hearing from Kate, and Kate writes, "We need help with cell phones. We are bamboozled regularly by our daughters because cell phones have so many uses, one of which is to listen to music. You know, teens are very soothed by music, so it's hard to say no to that. But I fear they are losing sleep and missing out on real life since they always have their phones in hand. It's like an addiction. All our friends with teens are plagued by this." Help, says Kate. All right. Well, thanks for your question, Kate. Right you are. You and your friends and the friends you haven't met yet are all struggling with this issue. So kids are so attached to their phones that getting it out of their hands feels like we're committing child abuse. And yet we know that smartphones are creating as much harm as good for kids today, maybe more. Now, my colleague, Laura Hannes-Webb, in her upcoming book, Six Super Skills for Executive Functioning, Tools to Help Teens Improve Focus, Stay Organized, and Reach Their Goals, she writes that there are studies indicating a crisis in cognition, in other words, our thinking ability, for adults as well as for youth. She cites one study that demonstrates that even the presence of a smartphone that's not being used reduces cognitive ability. And by the way, you can pre-order this book on Amazon. And if you're raising a teenager, by all means, hit the buy now button right now. So that's huge, right? Let's decide that the rule is no phone with teens doing their schoolwork. Good enough? Well, no. What about music? Well, they can use a music-only device. Those aren't too expensive. Or they can have speakers where they're working or they're hanging out, and the phone streaming that is leading to the speakers can be somewhere else. Or, God forbid, they could use this ancient device called a radio. I think they have music on that. So, oh, you say that's not solved yet? Because kids are saying they need their phones to get their assignments and their and they need to text classmates to work on group projects or ask them questions. Well, like I said, none of this is terrific, but if that's the way it's working out, that kids actually are being encouraged in the school to connect using the phone and get their information that way, well, let's figure something out. If they're mature enough, honest enough, and committed enough to use the device for the right reasons and aren't going off into social media and YouTube distraction, that's fine. The truth is that most kids, and many adults for that matter, don't have the focus skills to pull that off. Even if they intend to, it's a cognitive skill. or an executive function that's simply not well enough developed in adolescence to be able to pull it off. So we don't want to set them up to fail. One way past this is to have kids who, quote unquote, need to use their phone to access assignments or talk with classmates about assignments, have them do their work where parents can oversee it. And that way you can see that they're not jumping on to social media or whatever. So right now, Kate, you and your friends are, to one extent or another, developing or in a control battle with your teenagers because you haven't gotten this figured out yet. And because phones are so, as you mentioned, addicting. So let me offer what I think is a reasonable approach to setting reasonable standards and how to change from the struggle you're in now to a healthier place. First of all, cell phone use should probably begin early, so it isn't so much of a big deal. As young children, maybe kids take a selfie or take a picture of their cat and post it on mom or dad's Instagram account, or maybe even they have an Instagram account for Nana and Grandpa to like. So they play a child game on the phone. That's cool. It is, however, unwise for any child to have their own cell phone. And I know that's going on. Third, fourth, fifth graders, it's ridiculous. Even with all the controls in place, it is a distraction and it's a burden they don't need. Most youth will want a phone to be like their friends in the seventh or the eighth grade, and that's fine, assuming they're willing to follow guidelines. Essentially, here's one way of thinking about it. Having a phone should be treated the same way as having a driver's license. Before young teens get their first smartphone, they should do some reading on the downside of phone use, the addictive nature, the time suck, the vulnerability to fraud, bullying, negative impact on mental health and personal development, neural development, the impacts on physical health and physical development, and the risks of peer pressure to engage inappropriate use, such as texting, to name just some of the downsides. Then also, they should research the benefits of having a smartphone, access to information, connectivity to friends and family, music, entertainment. So then parents and young teens together can come up with a plan for healthy, limited phone use, and it might look something like this. Phone is away in the backpack during classes and only limited use during permitted school times. Time limited when home from school, maybe an hour or so. When not in use, it goes to the central charging station and it stays there. It's not in the room during sleep hours. And when kids are out socially with their phone, parental texts are always answered promptly. And kids understand and agree to only appropriate use and to report any inappropriate activity they receive to their parents so that they can discuss it with them and figure out the best way to deal with it. Then, of course, as kids age and mature from the seventh and eighth grade, ninth and into high school, middle of their adolescence, and they demonstrate that they've got the judgment, the self-monitoring skills, the self-management skills, they can little by little learn to manage their phone use increasingly independently. All right? So now here, Kate, is what I think you should do with your daughters. First of all, let's not label them as manipulative, since they're only doing what one would expect, getting very attached to their phones and doing anything to avoid giving them up. Now, have a sit down with parents and daughters and let them know that cell phone rules have been unclear and now there's too much strife about the phone use, and apologize for the lack of clarity and the confusion that's resulted. And then discuss with them what they know about the risks and the negative impacts of cell phone use. And if it looks like they can benefit from more information, then have them do some research on the subjects. perhaps to even take a break from the meeting and just Google some stuff right then and then have a discussion when you reconvene. Then discuss some newly clarified standards and rules and let them know that it's just like having a driver's license. It doesn't guarantee that they can drive wherever and whenever they want. It's all about what's healthy. Okay, a conversation might sound something like this. Girls, I'm so sorry about the struggle we've been having about the cell phone use. It wasn't our intention to make this something to fight over. It was to allow you to be connected to friends, have easy access to information, and for us to be connected and in touch as you grow more independent through your teen years. Now, there are the advantages of music and entertainment as well, but there are real health risks with cell phones too, and we'd like to discuss them now. We know you're smart kids, so let's start by us listening and you telling us what you already know. And then give them a chance to talk. And then, you know, after going through all the risks and problems with overuse, you establish with them limited and proper use standards or rules similar to the ones that we've bullet pointed above. And let them know that if it's a struggle to enforce the standards, then they'll be demonstrating that they simply aren't ready for cell phone ownership, period. And they'll be removed until following the protocols is easier for them. Got it, Kate? So parents, therapists, and all folks working with teenagers, cell phone overuse and misuse presents a serious threat to adolescent mental health, physical health, neurodevelopment, or the development of executive functioning, as well as other kinds of risks, too. We cannot take this lightly. Let's treat this seriously and help our teenagers gain the benefits of the connected world they're growing up in. And let's limit the risks and the downsides. Hey, thanks for tuning in today, everyone. And special thanks to you, Kate, for your very topical question. If you are a therapist who works in a behavioral health treatment program and would like to talk with me about improving outcomes in your program, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and shoot me an email or give me a call. I'll be happy to talk with you. And please, take care of yourselves. You know you need it. You know you deserve it. You know something? You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.